ハレクリシュナ。
ハレクリシュナ。
I was also asked to speak on the same thing, but I think it was presented to me a little differently. And the way I heard it was to talk about taking risks for Krishna in the course of preaching, or to be ready to take risks for Krishna.Which would free our energy for preaching. And of course, the basis of Krishna consciousness is faith, Shraddha, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita defines faith as the.Firm conviction that just by serving Krishna, all other activities will be fulfilled. And the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness is actually the process of increasing faith. All the different stages of advancement, beginning with Shraddha, Bhava,Prema, they're just increasing faith, the more mature manifestations of faith. And faith develops in the association of devotees from hearing. Now, hearing can be done.With offenses and without offenses. Like chanting. It's the same, chanting and hearing. And if we commit offenses while hearing, our faith will not increase. Or if it does, it will take a long time. So someone could be here but be full of doubts.Full of material attachments. One of the offenses against the holy name is not to have complete faith in the chanting and to maintain material attachments even in spite of hearing so many instructions on the matter. So if one commits offenses, one won't get the benefit.Of associating with devotees and hearing the message of Krishna consciousness. And our material attachments can be justified in many ways. And of course, the basicRationalization would be that we have responsibilities. We have our wives, our children, our parents. We have responsibilities. But there is a mystery to Krishna consciousness.Or you could say a magic to Krishna consciousness, which is that by giving to Krishna, you don't lose, but you gain. Recently, I had a discussion with a devotee in Houston about the mentality.That if someone is doing some service and then someone else wants the same person to do some other service, the person's authority might object, thinking that, oh, if the person does service for the other authority or the other program, then there'll be that much less service being done in my department or for my program. And I told a story of an incident that took place in India, in June. At the time, it was some years after Prabhupada left, but there was still the spirit of book distribution, and there were a number of the Westerners in the Sankirtan department. And at the same time, there was a Kumbh Mela in Nasik. And that was a big opportunity to preach. But somehow, the organization was lacking, the support was not forthcoming. So we got a message that they need devotees. Our Dina Bandhu Prabhu, who's based in Vrindavan, wanted more devotees. So pretty much the only devotees we had were the Sankirtan devotees. The movement then wasn't like it is now with, you know, it was much smaller. And, you know, I thought this is a special opportunity. We should just send our Sankirtan devotees. And it was an almost immediate reciprocation from Krishna that practically to the man that we sent to Nasik, that many new devotees joined. It was miraculous. It was really miraculous. So I mentioned that. Prabhupada often said that if we, one who gives to Krishna is not the loser, but he's the gainer by many kinds. Now I'm going to read a little bit from Srimad Bhagavatam. This verse and purport are so deep that we could discuss them for hours, and the preceding verses. In Kami Dalsu, it could be days. But because our time is limited, I will just read from this one verse and purport. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 8, Text 6. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Translation. A pure devotee of the Lord, whose heart has once been cleansed by the process of devotional service, never relinquishes the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, for they fully satisfy him. As a traveler is satisfied at home after a troubled journey. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord Krishna is not completely cleansed in the heart. But a perfectly cleansed person never quits the devotional service of the Lord. in discharging such devotional service as ordered by Brahmaji to Narada in the preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes a representative of the Lord engaged in preaching work meets various so-called difficulties. This was exhibited by Lord Nityananda when he delivered the two fallen souls, Jagai and Madhai. And similarly, Jesus Christ was crucified by the non-believers. But such difficulties are very gladly suffered by the devotees in preaching, because in such activities, although apparently very severe, the devotees of the Lord feel transcendental pleasure because the Lord is satisfied. Sometimes we find that we feel the greatest ecstasy when the situation is the most difficult externally. I remember once I had gone to North Calcutta. This was in 1971, when there was almost no sewage system. I don't know if things have changed. And it was storming. And the water was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And, I mean, Prabhupada, and again this might have changed, but Prabhupada said this is like the characteristic of Indians, that they are, they appear lazy when it comes to material things, but when it comes to spiritual things, they're very active. I saw it even at the Kumbh Mela. The rickshaw wallahs, you know, they'd be sleeping in their rickshaws. And if you wanted a ride, they might or might not give you one. But when it was time to take bath at the auspicious moment, they were right there. Because their values were like that. So, anyway, during that storm, there were almost no vehicles on the street. I mean, you really had to go through deep water. And hardly any taxis. You know, it was like a long way. I couldn't have walked, but having nothing else to do, I was walking and chanting. And every once in a while, a taxi would come and my hopes would get up and it was full. And, but at that time, I felt such bliss, because there is no other reason for me to have been there other than the service of Srila Prabhupada. And that gave me so much happiness. There's no, say we come to a program here, nice house, nice decorations, nice people, nice prasad. There are other reasons to be here besides Krishna consciousness. But there was no other reason for me to be in knee-deep water. And it wasn't just water, but we'll simplify it and just call it water. Other than the service of Srila Prabhupada. So this is something we can experience, that sometimes even in the most awkward external situation, we feel the deepest bliss inside. one devotee mentioned, like he always, it's natural, he always wants the body to be in the most comfortable position for chanting japa or whatever. But it may happen that when you're in a very uncomfortable position physically, your japa is better. It's just so. Yes, so Prahlad Maharaj suffered greatly, but still he never forgot the lotus feet of the Lord. This is because a pure devotee of the Lord is so purified in his heart that he cannot leave the shelter of Lord Krishna in any circumstances. There is no self-interest in such service. The progress of cultured knowledge by the jnanis or the bodily gymnastics by the yogis are ultimately given up by the respective performers. But a devotee of the Lord cannot give up the service of the Lord, for he is ordered by his spiritual master. Pure devotees like Narada and Nityananda Prabhu take up the order of the spiritual master as the sustenance of life. They do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. They take the matter very seriously, as the order comes from the higher authority, from the representative of the Lord or from the Lord himself. This purport and this line that I just read had a very profound effect on one of our God brothers who was faced with a very difficult situation. He was being asked to take action against someone who had been in the movement and who had apparently ordered the murder of one or more devotees. And he was being asked to not challenge that person, but to speak the truth about that person. And knowing the history of the person's behavior, it's possible that he or his followers could have retaliated by murdering him or doing something horrible to his wife or children. So he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam and he read this line. They do not mind what becomes of the future of their lives. So he asked his wife what he should do. And she said, "You must do it." She supported him fully. She was in the same mood. And he did it, and I mean, as it turns out, nothing happened. And he also thought of a story that shows that you cannot escape your destiny by your material plans or devices. It comes from Persian literature, and in the story, So a master sent his servant to the marketplace to purchase some items for the estate. And while he was in the marketplace, he was jostled by a death personified, and he panicked, and as we would say, he freaked out. And he just stopped everything and ran back to his master. And he said, I was in the marketplace and death personified jostled me and looked at me in a very menacing way, so I fled. And I am going to Samara, there's another town, city. So the master, you know, he's protective and he also needed things from the market, so he went into the marketplace and he met death personified there. And he said, you know, my servant told me that you jostled him and you looked at him in a menacing way and you terrified him and he ran away. Why did you do that? And Death said, I wasn't looking at him in a menacing way. I was just surprised to see him in Baghdad because I have an appointment with him this afternoon in Samara. So he thought, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu thought, you know, if it is my destiny, I won't be able to escape it. But it wasn't. And, he was protected by the Lord. So, when we take risks, there should be some calculation. You've heard the phrase calculated risk. There should be some calculation. We should not rush into situations blindly. We should be aware of the possible repercussions of what we do. And then we should calculate. Is this a worthy risk or not? I'll tell one story. It's not good to use myself as an example, but after we received the news, it's sort of that Tamal Krishna Goswami had left, I immediately thought I must come to Dallas. And at the time, I was receiving phone calls from so many devotees who had been affected by the shock of the loss. And one devotee raised the point that there is a court case going on, the court case, Wendell Turley case. And the center of that court case was Dallas. And in the court case, they were trying to get all the leaders of ISKCON. And I was on the list, for sure. But they didn't have my address. So up until then, I had avoided being served summons or notice. So they said, you're going to Dallas. It's the center of the court case. There, and these people, they have their spies. They have their spies everywhere, looking, especially for the leaders to try to get them. And so he advised me, you could just be like a sitting duck. You'd be like an easy target. And I thought about it, and I was calculating, but then at a certain point, I guess different people have different ways of processing. I'm like more intuitive, but at a certain point I just got an intuition that I could go. You know, it was a calculated risk. I knew there was a risk, but I just felt I should go. I went to Nityananda Prabhu's former residence. And, you know, then I came to the temple. I didn't know what would happen. It was all right. I mean, I didn't get... But, you know, we also took precaution. I didn't sort of hang out on girly, you know, unnecessarily. But I did, you know, I did what I felt I had to do. So sometimes we have to, you know, take a little leap of faith. And when we do that, we can feel Krishna's reciprocation. If we're always very protective of our situations, then we never get to see Krishna's magic, because we're depending on our, you know, resources, our intelligence, our wealth, our social connections, whatever it is. But when we take that risk, then we can see how Krishna reciprocates. And that's why the preacher is so dear to Krishna, because he depends more fully on Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that if a parent is crossing the street with some children and suddenly a car appears coming very quickly, the parent loves all the children, but the parent's first thought will be to the youngest, who's the most dependent on the parent's protection. So Prabhupada was saying it's like that with the preacher, that he depends more on Krishna. So Krishna loves all his devotees, he loves all living entities. But he thinks first of the preacher, because the preacher is more dependent on him. So I'm glad that Dwarka Prabhu has invited us and all of you and given us the subject of today's talks. And and it's an honor and privilege to be sitting next to His Holiness Gundabrai Maharaj and Bhagavan Hari Swami Maharaj, who have taken so many risks and continue to take risks for Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.